Okay, Abby, what are we here to talk about today?
So in an earlier FAQ episode, you answered the question why we're talking about Hebraic thought, where you said that we are looking at the philosophy of the Bible specifically and not later Jewish thought. But what about the New Testament? Is that included in Hebraic thought when we're looking at the philosophy of the Bible?
Okay, so this will be controversial, because I think some people are going to want to say, no, the New Testament is new. It's Jewish. It's Second Temple Jewish. And some people will even want to say, you know, when you read Paul, he doesn't sound like a Jew. He doesn't sound like the Old Testament. He sounds like a Roman citizen often. So I want to say, yes, the New Testament is thoroughly Hebraic, although it may not look that way. It may not be dressed up in the clothes of the Hebrew Bible, but the content is still the same. So you can think of very simple things like what would be an example. I mean, the most basic one I can think of is the idea of Jesus fulfilling the justice of the Torah. I mean, he gives a Sermon on the Mount where he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And then if you know what he's talking about from the Torah, you realize he's not saying anything new really at all. Nothing completely new. He's correcting what seems to be misunderstandings of the Torah and maybe some rabbinic teaching as well. But he ends that by saying, "Don't think that I came to abolish the Torah. I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it." And so he wants to make sure that whatever you heard in that whole speech, you didn't think for some reason that he was overthrowing the Hebraic notions of justice, the Hebraic notions of truth and goodness and beauty and the politics of the kingdom of God that were there in the Hebrew Bible. So it seems to be an impulse right there with Jesus, not to mention the fact that Jesus' most famous quotes are often him quoting the Hebrew Bible. So you know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's from Leviticus 18, 19. And what else does he say? Oh, the Lord your God is one, right? He's quoting Deuteronomy 6 there, the Shema. And so Jesus talks about the Hebrew Bible as the scriptures, as his scriptures, as have you heard it was not written? Mm-hmm. He treats them as utter authority. He doesn't treat other Jewish texts of his day as authoritative. Mm-hmm. So he's not citing the wisdom of Solomon or Ben Sira or Enoch or any of those other texts. And like all the New Testament authors, they're only citing the Old Testament. It's their source book for thinking about the world. So when someone comes to Jesus with a question about divorce, he not only, and they come to him with a legal question that, you know, can we get divorced? And he not only goes to the law, the legal question, yes, Moses permitted it because you guys are jerks, basically. Because you're broken, that Moses permitted it. But then he goes back to creation and it says, do you not remember? It was from the beginning, it was not so. What God has put together, don't let people tear apart. And so that's a way of reasoning, not from his own mind, not creating a new form of reasoning, not creating even a new thought on the topic. But he goes back to the creation and then works forward into the Moses' law and explains how all of this fits together. That, to me, says he's not in any way trying to unhitch this or to ditch it or to say there's something new that has come and the old must go. In fact, that is a heresy called Marcionism, or that's part of a heresy that Marcion is. We can just get rid of the Hebrew Bible because the new is here and we don't need this old mad God of the Hebrew Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. That's 4 minutes in.
I think a lot of people think of the Old Testament as written in Hebrew and the New Testament is written in Greek. And so can you explain a little bit about why the New Testament isn't Greek thought or Greek philosophy?
Yeah. So the Old Testament in the days of Jesus was written in Greek. And that's how probably many of, if not all of, the New Testament authors read the Old Testament, though some of them probably would have had access to and read it in Hebrew. So the Greek translation was the NIV of their day. It was the hot, you know, the hot commodity that everybody had and learned through. As far as we know, I mean, there is a bit of murkiness on this question of who is reading which version of the Bible. But yeah, so again, that's kind of getting past that question of how the text is, what kind of clothes the text is dressed up in, you know, and I mean that in the sense of the genre, like, is it in the clothes of a murder mystery or the Gettysburg Address or something? Like, those are two different ways of getting a point across, of teaching a moral or maybe demonstrating a principle in some way. So yeah, the Gospels come in this kind of biography form. That's a form unheard of in the ancient world, except the Roman world. You have these biographies, but even then, the Gospels don't look like Roman biographies. They're kind of their own thing. The letters of Paul are just they're just letters like that you write to people, advising them about things. But they look a lot like wisdom literature. A lot of what he's doing is the very same things that the so-called wisdom literature of the Hebrew Bible is doing. And again, they're all constantly quoting and sourcing their thinking out of the Hebrew Bible. So by Hebraic, we mean that it originally comes in Hebrew from the Hebrew people. So that term Hebraic collects all those things together. But it doesn't mean it's locked in Hebrew. That there is a way, you know, there are certain words in Hebrew that are difficult to translate. Same thing with words in English into German or from Brazilian Portuguese into English. There's certain, you know, there's a reason we have to say, like, how do you say this in this other language? Like, mm-hmm. there's this way we say this or we think about it. But there is a way to say it. You might have to use more words, as is typically the case. But all the ideas from the Hebrew Bible translate into various languages. Mm-hmm. They're not locked into the language. So even though we might want to think of the Hebrew language as a special language for God's people, you know, you really have to, at the end of the day, ask yourself the question, you know, if God wrote the Ten Commandments by his own finger into the stone tablets, the first ones that Moses broke, did he write them in Hebrew because that's the language that God speaks, or did he write them in Hebrew because that's the language that his people spoke? And I think Protestants have tended to say, or Christians have tended to say, it's because the language his people spoke. And he spoke to them to accommodate them, not because Hebrew is a heavenly language. Okay, now we're at 7 minutes, so we should stop there.
Thank you for listening to the Center for Hebraic Thought podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave us a review wherever you found us. Want to learn more about Hebraic Thought? Visit our website at HebraicThought.org.